case you haven't noticed, we're missing about 8 people from our congregation this morning. The Puckett family is on vacation this morning. Scott, who's our pastor, is on vacation right now. So we're fortunate enough to have Nathaniel Adawanu here with us. He and his family are here. Nathaniel, he and his family live in Newport Richey, which is near Tampa. And he's also he's a missionary over in West Africa. And so he's going to be sharing with us this morning. So if you guys would, please pray with me as we pray for Nathaniel as he comes up to preach God's word this morning. Father, again, we come to you. Father, we thank you that you are holy, God. We thank you that we can come to you and sing, worship you through these songs, Father. Worship you through our words, Father. We thank you for that, God. Pray that you would speak through your servant Nathaniel now, God. Pray that his word would be alive in you, Father. Pray that you would use him to speak to our hearts, God. Pray that we would be different this morning because of it, Father. We thank you for bringing Nathaniel and his family safely here to us, Father. And we thank you for the opportunity to hear about the works you're doing with them over in West Africa, God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I want to thank the worship team. Some of the worship song we just went through is very beautiful. I praise God for what's going on in this church. For the sake of those who don't know me, because this church is growing. It's growing, and I think it's a blessing from God that this church is growing. The first time I came here, the first time I came to contact with Christ's kingdom was other side. And I remember we were small. It was just a core group. And Scott said, Nathaniel, you want to come and share with us what's going on, what God is doing through you and through our ministry? So I did. And every year since then, I've been coming here. I think this face is not new to some of you, but some of you, it might be new. And therefore, my English will also be strange to you because I speak French. English is not my language. And therefore, I want you to bear with me, okay? Bear with me and just pay attention carefully. And I will not pronounce the words the way you want, but I will try to do my best. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. It is a great privilege for me to be here. Honestly, your pastor told me to come and share this time with you, I said, I was looking forward to that. I was looking forward to that. I'll do two things. I'll try to manage my time. And when I overboard my time, don't get mad either. It's hard for me to combine everything I have to say and preach and all that. I have so much to say. And I'm just going to say a few of it. Over the past, I will say 2 years, 3 years, God has been doing wonderful things with our ministry. And you wonder, what is that ministry? It's called New Harvest Missions International. And what we do, we are an indigenous church planting organization. We are unique in the fact that we go to West African countries, not just countries, Islamic countries, and trying to start churches. Now, when I talk about Muslims country, it has to ring a bell because of what's going on in the world today. And I will say 11 years ago when I came to this country and we began to talk about a Islamic ministry, how to bring the gospel of grace to the Muslims, people looked at me as if I was coming from the moon. But that is not the case anymore today. People understand, I will say nations, government, politicians, everybody understand clearly the necessity to take the gospel to Muslims.
Hey,
at least to take the gospel to the Muslims nation.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt, guys, real quick. We forgot to dismiss the third to fifth graders. So if there are any third to fifth graders that need to go to Sunday school, please go ahead and do that. Sorry. Thank you.
All right. You are dismissed to your class, not to home. And so that's where we start everything. Islamic nations. How can we bring the gospel, the hope, the message of the gospel of grace to the Muslims. We've been doing this for over, I will say this is our 15 years since 1993 that we've been doing this. And it took us a long time to be where we are now, what we will call a breakthrough. God began to move. God began to do work. And if you are familiar with Steve Childers, Global Church Advancement, which is my partner, he is a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary here in Orlando. We usually say this: God take pleasure to those who dare to align their vision, their purpose, to God's purpose. And we have been experiencing that. We have been experiencing that. We have planted more than 100 churches in those places. You wonder, how do you plant church in Islamic nations? That's a whole other thing I will talk to you about. We have been training. One of the aspects of our ministry is to train indigenous church planters, train pastors. How many of you are familiar with this expression that said the church in Africa is inch deep and mile wide? The church in Africa is inch deep and mile wide. What does that mean? It simply means that since 1800, Europeans have brought the gospel to us in Africa. And the church in Africa is growing in numbers, numerically. We have about 360 million Christians in Africa, according to the statistic. Why is it we still have poverty, we still have disease, we still have corruption, we still have all those things that we're talking, everybody knows about? And the missiologists are saying, because the church is inch deep. What does that mean? It means that the true gospel, the true understanding, the biblical understanding of the gospel does not penetrate in Christian church in Africa. And why is it we don't have a true biblical understanding of the gospel in Africa? Because our pastors are not well trained. It's not like just what you have here. Scott, come here and just expound the words, God's word, and you enjoy it, you love it, you cherish it, and you look forward to come back next week. It doesn't happen like that over there. A pastor will come on Sunday with his Bible, no commentary, nothing, and wait for God to speak to him with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen in 21st century anymore. And so, because the church in Africa is shallow in its understanding of the gospel, it impacts the community, it impacts the nations, and all that we know about Africa. So what we're trying to do, the first aspect of our ministry is to train pastors, train leaders. Now, because we are in a particular circle, I will call a reform circle, I will say we love to train them in a reformed thinking, to understand the gospel. And when they pick up the word, they will expound it in a way that people will understand it and apply it to their lives. You know what we call that? We call it a transformational gospel. A gospel that changed minds, a gospel that changed hearts, a gospel that changed communities. Transform communities. The gospel is not a true gospel until it begins to change hearts and change communities. So we refuse, as far as NHMI is concerned, to have this kind of nominal Christianity that seems to be trained in a global world today. Even though we are called a majority world, we do not want to believe that the number, we are not driven by numbers. So training is very important. Not only training is very important, but also how we can strategically put people into places so that the gospel might go forward to these nations. We don't only want to reach West Africa and Africa, but we want more. We want to reach the whole world. That's bold, bold statements. But you know what? If we dare to align our purpose with God's purpose, He will make it happen. The work is not our work. The work is Christ's work. The one who have gone before us, the Son of God. When we stand, like the worship leader said, we stand in front of His righteousness. And I've done nothing to be here. It's by His mercy. And through that grace, through that mercy, we want to see the transformational gospel go to our people. 3 weeks ago, I just came back from Africa. We had about 280 key national leaders, key denominational leaders, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Charismatic, you name it, all of them. 200 from 14 countries in West Africa. They all came. And the purpose was to try to stir up their hearts to understand the vision that New Harvest Mission has. And we were very fortunate to have 20 pastors from PCA churches from U.S. here went with us. That's fantastic. And if you know, Steve Childers is one of our great partners. He was the one that was teaching. So what we're trying to do is to bring what you have here to them. We don't want to duplicate PCA, but we want to duplicate the biblical understanding of the gospel that you have here. And we see many, many people. Some of those people came from countries like Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Chad, those countries that we will never, ever have chance to go. Islamic nations, 99%, sometimes 100%. And they sit down as Dr. Steve Childers begin to share, teach, they go, wow. That's training. And we want you to continue to pray for us because we want to see that happen more and more. We do not want the church in Africa to be inch deep, a mile wide. We want to be 10,000 mile wide, 10,000 inch deep. That's a biblical understanding. Another aspect is training. As we train the pastors, we also try to plant churches. We plant churches in the places where we don't have churches at all. Probably when we have a Catholics and Jehovah's Witness, we want to go to those places. We consider them as not. They are our brothers, but we don't share the same view. So we take people over there, and in a small group, and listen to this. One of our strategies is to try to have these indigenous people go to their own people. Now, people are talking about indigenous ministries, and the Western missionaries feel like we are left out. I don't think so. It's not biblical to say, well, we don't want the Western missionaries to come. We got it all. We can do it our own. That's not biblical. But what we're saying is we're training these people. We're sending them to their own people. And what's really happened is they will not question them. What are you doing here? But you are white. But you don't even speak our language. You don't know our culture. You don't know all that. What are you doing here? It's hard for them to understand that we're bringing you the gospel. What do you mean gospel? I believe in my culture. I believe in my tradition. I love to worship what I'm worshiping. So we think that when we send these nationals to their own people and understand the gospel that you and I share and begin to share that with their people, it brings transformation. So what is the role of our international missionaries? Is to come alongside us. is to come and try to help us train those pastors and have them go. So church planting, we're doing it a lot. Last year, we have not been able to plant many churches as we wanted. This coming 2008 year, we plan to have, we focus on 30 churches, plant 30 churches. I don't think we will be able to plant 30 churches in 1 year. But what we're doing is to try to go over there and do a systematic research and begin to sow the seed over there. And in years to come, we will certainly start churches over there. Because the time is against me, I want to go quickly on these things and get to the message. This is not my message, by the way. The third thing we do, the third aspect, is what we call a community development aspect. This is not new to you, all these three aspects. And I don't think that the gospel, we can only carry the gospel to people without really take care of the other side, the physical need. And what we do, we just don't want to go and hand them over a bowl full with cereal or with whatever we eat over there. We want to teach them how to become self-sufficient. Because we have been accused. No, not that's the word. Let me take that word back. The Western Christian leaders are very concerned that they have been sending so much money to the third world countries and nothing is happening. In fact, they become so dependent on your dollar that they are very tired. They begin to think that they have to do something about it. And one thing we try to do as a new generation of leaders from third majority world is to try to find a way, how can we help a village with a church to produce something and that something become, to for them to depend on that thing instead of depending on people outside. It's very crucial. You see, when they begin to do it themselves, you know what? I'll give you an example. We have a ministry, I will not call that ministry name, that spend millions of dollars around the world, go around the world and plant and build churches. Building. And I had a chance to meet this one of the executive, and he said, "What do you think about our strategy?" And I smiled. I said, "Do you really want my answer?" He said, "Yeah, I want an honest answer." I said, "It's useless." He was so caught up that I said, "It's useless. You can have a nice building, spending all this money, if the people that are coming to that building don't have a biblical understanding, a biblical perspective of the gospel, that's nonsense. That's useless. So carry the money over there and use it is good, but use it appropriately." So what we're trying to do is to make them understand that all these projects we're doing, in a certain time, they will own it. They will own it. It is theirs. It's not a money that's come from somewhere. They work for it. They do it. And they have to own it. And when they own it, they understand how to cherish it and take care of it. Very crucial. Those three things are very crucial for us in our ministry. In brief, that's what we're trying to do. And it doesn't come without cost. And that's where, of course, you know what I'm going to say. You play a role. You come to the picture. You don't come to the picture only when we need the money. We used to do that in the missions. We don't do that anymore. In fact, we want you to be involved in the process. That's how you own it too. I'm telling you, I have these 20 PCA pastors. They went to Africa, and I took them in a few countries. When we got back, the first emails I get, the first 15 emails I get is from them. Nathaniel, thank you for going with us, taking us over there. Now we have a perspective. We understand what you're doing over there. We know how things are there now. They know how to spend the money for ministry, for missions. So we want you to be involved in the process. And we want to thank you, NHMI. I want to thank you, you, Christ Kingdom Church here, for what you're doing. Your dollar is going dollar for dollar to what we're doing over there. We're training pastors. Right now, we are ready to send 5 pastors, candidate pastors, to mission to the world, Bible school in Senegal. And so your own mission agency that we're working with, we are not different. In fact, we are in a partnership with PCA, and Mission to the World, Global Church Advancement with Steve Childers, Ted Mill, Mentz, and all those guys. Those people are the group we're working with. So we want to thank you for giving. We want to thank you for praying. And we want to thank you in advance for you going over there. We just don't want you to go to Africa. You can go to Asia. You can go to Latin America. You can go everywhere you want to go. But we want you to get out of this place. Go experience something else. Go see what God is doing. And pray for God to align your heart with his heart so what you will do will benefit for the kingdom. In fact, the name of this church is the Kingdom Christ or Christ Kingdom Church. It is God's kingdom. When we have a kingdom vision, it changes the world, it transforms the world, it brings God's people together, and it brings God's kingdom, invisible kingdom, make visible. And I pray that what we've been doing together, as you give, as you participate with New Harvest Missions, that will help us do the work we are doing.